is the Talking Buds Podcast.
Sixty episodes, Ryan.
Yeah, cheers to that. Cheers to 60, baby.
I don't think either one of us started this podcast with the intention of abandoning it at any point, because you're never going to go anywhere if you give up. But still, 60 episodes is pretty impressive, if I don't say so myself. If I can give us a pat on the back.
Yeah, plus the postseason pints.
Plus the postseason pints, so it's really been 67 episodes.
Yeah, that's...
Ironically enough, Ryan, I'd like to wish you a happy one-year anniversary. A year ago today, we were watching the Maple Leafs get eliminated in Game 7 by the Boston Bruins.
Yeah, that was great. That was awesome when you're just up 3-2 in a series against a team that you just need to beat really badly, and you're just due to beat, and then you just blow it. You just blow it again. So, happy anniversary to that.
It was... Last year's Game 7 was really disappointing.
Yeah, it was awful.
It's not like the other two Game 7s against Boston weren't. They absolutely were. But
this one sucked.
It did suck, because like you went into that... Do you remember Game 6 was like a day game?
No, I can't. I don't know. I can't really
remember
that.
Game 6 was like a 3 o'clock start. That was great. It.
Yeah, and I just remember them being up 3-2, and I was so pumped. I was like, finally, they got some momentum. Did I think they were going to end in 6? No, but at least like you have two cracks at it, where you just like, hey, we can't get it done this time, and Game 7, and then just gone. No good. Eliminated. Bye.
It's time to ask you how you're holding up during this pandemic, where the end is nowhere in sight. I like to do a weekly check-in to see how life is going for you and how you're handling the situation. So what's new, if anything at all?
I'm just working. Like, when I'm at work and I'm, like, obviously we're taking precautions, and I have a job where it's like I'm not really in close quarters with anybody anyways. Like, you can be separated and don't be close to anyone. But when you're out just driving around and you got things to do, It feels like nothing is going on. It feels like nothing's different, other than seeing stores close. But on the roads and just out there, like, it seems like nothing's going on. It's weird. And then you're at home for a couple of days, and you have CP24 on 100 times a day. And then you're like, okay, the shit's going on.
Yeah. One thing I've learned about myself and my work is I'm not a big work from home guy. Like, I've got your standard office job, and everybody's working from home, and it's like I don't really like there's some people who love working from home and are just like stoked on it. Other than the fact that you get some extra sleep in the morning, I'm not a huge fan.
Why? What is it, the distraction?
When I'm at work, I'm in work mode. I'm there to do my job, and it's way easier to feel engaged when you're in the office with all your coworkers and you're just immersed in what you're doing. And it's just, I find it way easier. And I'm also the type of guy who, when I deal with people at my job, I like to have a face-to-face conversation, not a huge email guy.
No, like, that's annoying.
Take your four-paragraph email, I'm not reading that. Like, if you send me an email that's more than a paragraph long, I'm going to cease reading it. I'm either going to walk over to where you sit, or I'm going to book time with you, and I'm going to say, we need to discuss that, because I am not sitting and reading that novel for the next 20 minutes.
It's like any text message I get, too. Not even email. If there's something like a long paragraph...
Oh, some people love it, though, man. Yeah. Some people just, like, just love sending these massive emails. And it's just like,
What? I would get stressed if I had to work from home. I feel like I'd get stressed about like how productive I'm being, or if I should be doing something better than I am, or I'm not doing something. I don't know. I'd just be freaking out all the time, thinking that I'm like doing something wrong. I don't know. I get what you're saying.
Well, this is a bit different because everybody's in this boat. So everybody's like day to day has been impacted. So everyone's kind of figuring it out together.
Yeah.
So that's a little like that part of it's a little better. But yeah, man, I like having my routine and I like having separation between my home life and my work life. And this like blurred line of just get up and sit at the kitchen table and just on my laptop sending emails and answering emails and conference calls and stuff all day. It's just like, I'm not a huge fan of it.
No, I wouldn't be that pumped about it either.
Anyway, moving on. Before we get into this week's topic du jour, let's do a bit of housekeeping, shall we, Ryan? Some news and notes. Earlier this week, Jason Spezza told Toronto sports media that he would like to remain a Leaf next season and that he feels that he still has some gas left in the tank. I'm paraphrasing, but that's essentially what he said. We posted this on our Instagram, Ryan.
People loved it.
Oh, overwhelming positivity.
Yeah, Spezza is over.
Yeah, Spezza is over with the Talkin' Buds listeners, dude.
Yeah, whoa.
Yeah, big time. Yeah. Big time.
Yeah, so, what's your take on it?
Well, I'd like to have him back. I think he's a good veteran. I think Keefe's found the right role for him. The beginning of the season with Babcock was a disaster, which I don't think any of us blame Jason Spezza for whatsoever. And I think I'd like to have him back. If he's willing to sign 1-year deals, it's at 700 grand. You can come back as much as you want, bud.
Yeah, so 100%.
I think he's found the I think they found the right role for him, somewhere between that 3C and 4C, depending on the situation. Keefe had him on the wing a lot too, so I'm in favor for it. Like, and it's not like I said, you want to sign for the league minimum? You're a beauty in my eyes.
Yeah, I just. This just wasn't news to me. Like, didn't we already know this? Like, I don't understand how this is like a new developing story. I felt like all season I knew he wanted to come back and he loved playing here. He said it a bunch of times and it even was reported that he was down to come back. So I saw this and I'm like, that's kind of random that it's just popping up out of nowhere. But I don't know. He's got some name value. You're right. 700 grand is 700 grand. I'm not getting... Like, I just don't know how much gas he has left in the tank, so I'm not going to get too excited when it comes to him contributing on the power play or moving up in the lineup, which he can do. But it's just, man, this fan base, they could pick a fourth liner and just make him a king. Whoa.
Oh, buddy, yeah, I'm looking at the comments right now.
Up, man.
Oh, yeah, every single one of them is like, yes, absolutely, absolutely, bring him back, great leader. Love him. It also helps that he's a local guy, too.
Yeah, bring him back. Like, cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Bring him back. Why not? I would. You would. Yeah. Everyone else would.
I'm with you.
Yeah, is it something I'm going to get fired up about? No.
No.
But bring him back.
Next bit of news I have for you, Ryan. Gary Bettman joined in conversation with Ron McLean. Did you watch any of this or see any of the highlights?
Yeah, I saw the highlights.
He's pretty determined to finish this season.
Yeah, because they're losing money hand over fist.
So much so that he's like, even if it impacts next season. That shocked me. Like, I thought that the NBA and the NHL, like if I was a betting man and had to put down a wager, my thought was they would just call it a day on the season and then start putting plans in place on how you're going to start next season with no fans, etc., because you've got tons of time to plan that out. But he seemed, and you know what? It could be one thing Gary Bettman is not an idiot, and everything he says is calculated and he knows exactly what he's saying and why he's saying it. So he could just be posturing and he doesn't want to be the first one to say, yeah, we don't know if we're going to finish the season. And that's not a good message to send to your players and the rest of the teams in the league. But yeah, I was really, really surprised by that. And like, so he says that they've put together several different models of how to resume the season, but wants to do what's best and fair for all involved. So Ryan, there could be like a 31 team play-in. He didn't say this, but my mind started spinning. Could we see a 31 team play-in?
We're going to see whatever we have to see for them to make the most amount of money they possibly can. That's I don't know what that is. Like I want to sound smart and like that I can understand the business side of everything, but just listening to Berkey on the radio today, who is a guy who I have an opinion on him in other ways, but when it comes to being a businessman and being smart and knowing what's going on, I trust his opinion. He's just, what he was talking about was just the amount of money that it's just getting, that they're losing. It's just crazy. And he's talking about the salary cap, like going down by like a significant amount. Like, man, sometimes you forget how big of an impact this has on this league, which has so many franchises who have empty buildings. And
yeah, oh yeah, man.
And it's like, Gary's going to do whatever Gary has to do to get this game back on the air. There will be no fans there, but if there's got to be a 31 team play-in, if that's what works, he's going to do it. They're going to do whatever, man.
Elliot Freeman reported that the league is looking at 4 centralized locations to finish out the season, but Bettman obviously said that's far from confirmed.
Yeah.
Gary also kiboshed my soundstage idea. I said last week, I said someone who knows way more about this is going to crush this idea, but he said that the NHL facilities are the most equipped to handle like the sanitation needs and also the most equipped to house a bunch of different teams. So you think about it, like you got to think that like Scotiabank Arena would probably be one of the locations they're talking about. Dude, you could have like 4 games a day going on there.
Yeah, but like it goes so much further than that. It's like, hey, where are they all staying? So they got to get a bunch of hotels. It's not just the players coming. There's a million trainers, a million coaches. And is there any family coming along or is it just the players? And
I don't think there'd be any family.
Like how can they test? Like, I know they're all in a controlled environment, but like you never know. Like, is there going to be any testing process? Like, it's just, to me, until that gets figured out, all this is worthless talk.
Well, you know what else that he said that blew my mind? And it makes perfect sense. It's something I hadn't even thought about and blew my mind, okay? None of these guys are on the ice. So he said that in his discussions with the Players Association has said they'd like a 3-week mini camp. Because as soon as they start playing again, the games are really going to matter.
Like, are they even, like, close? Like, I still feel like they're... It's like they have all this, they're ready. They've put all the scenarios together. They're trying to get ready for when it's a go. But it just seems like that go is still far away. So
yeah,
all this stuff
yeah.
is just like, it's just almost fantasy talk. Like,
dude, it is total fantasy talk. And that's why I said, like, he knows exactly what he's saying. And I don't think he wants to send a message that we're considering canceling the season. And I don't think they want to cancel the season due to the financial ramifications that you talked about earlier. But it's just like there's so many hurdles that I don't understand how you overcome them. It's like, it's almost better to just call it a day on the end of the season. Come back in September. Take the whole summer to figure out how you're going to do this. Because even if you come back in September, October, there's not going to be any fans. So that gives you tons of time to figure it out. I do think that the centralized location is something that will end up happening for all of them. Like, there's been talk about baseball resuming in all their Grapefruit League stadiums.
Yeah. That's not bad scenery, actually, when you look at it.
No, it's not.
That
and
would
it
be
makes
bad
sense
scenery.
Because they all have a facility. So why not?
Yeah.
And they're all in Florida, which apparently just doesn't care about the coronavirus. So
it just sucks that for some of these guys. Like, I know they're getting paid millions and this is their job, but like, imagine just being like, yeah, you got to come live somewhere for 3 months and never leave. Like, that would suck, man. That's, like, whoa.
Yeah, that would suck.
Guys that's don't even like playing in a specific city that they don't like. Imagine being stuck in a room for 2 months.
Well, and I'd argue, like, so, and again, anyone who's listening to this, this is by, Ryan and I are by no means experts on the business of hockey.
No,
okay?
No.
But it's like, if you're doing it in a centralized location, you have no fans in the building. So you're not making any money off of live gate, concessions, like all that kind of stuff. So pretty much all the money you're making is from TV revenue, advertising dollars, and rights fees from Rogers and NBC in the US. So there's still a huge chunk of the league's income that's not coming in with the no live gate. I know that doesn't matter in places like Phoenix and Florida, but like,
yeah, but then there's the whole like revenue sharing bit. Like, yeah. It's just, it's so complicated.
But anyways, I was really surprised to hear how determined he is to resume this season. Listen, if they do come back and they want to do like a 31 team play in, I think that will be
the best thing ever.
Yeah, I think that will be spectacular.
I was going to say that if I'm a TV person and the NHL is coming back and that's the way they're going to make their money, I don't want to see game one of the regular season in September. Even if it's in September, you find a way to get that cup over somebody's head. I don't want to come back with game one of the regular season. Do what you have to do to have some sort of playoff, because man, people will care so much more. It'll be, and almost selfishly, it'd be awesome for you and I and everyone else just to be right into playoff hockey. Like, I don't want to watch game one. Like,
well,
oh,
you and
regular
I, you
season?
And I have talked a lot, right? You and I have talked a lot about like the lack of interest in watching hockey games that don't involve our team or like someone else's team. But this would essentially fix that. Like, if you got a bunch of mini play-in series, I'd watch all those games.
Same. It'd be awesome.
Yeah, like, for sure. Yeah, it'd be awesome. And you just have this massive, like, playoff
It would be the greatest thing that the NHL has ever had, in my opinion. Not even close. It would be the greatest thing.
It would be like a March Madness bracket.
Yeah. Oh, dude, it'd be in any league. Forget just the NHL. If this happened in the NBA or any sort of league, it's like, this would be phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Yeah. Be like a March Madness bracket.
Yes.
Yeah. That'd be unreal. Well, we can only keep our fingers crossed, Ryan, and hope that something like that happens, because as we're talking about it now, I am getting really excited at that idea. That sounds like an unreal idea.
Yeah, it'd be epic. Epic.
All right, let's move into this week's conversation topic, an idea that we gave ourselves last week, just talking generally about the Maple Leafs. People seem to like when we did our Austin Matthews profile. This one is going to be a little bit different than that, but it is a profile nonetheless. And today, Ryan, we are going to talk about Maple Leaf captain John Tavares.
Let's go. Let's do it.
I want to take you back to the summer of 2018. John Tavares, where's he going to go? He's holding meetings with teams was it Los Angeles? I'm pretty sure it was LA.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was LA too. Yeah.
The Leafs are there pitching. Babs, Shanny, and Kyle go in. The Sharks are in. The Islanders are trying to keep him. And the whole time, it's like, where's he going to go, Ryan? Where's he going to go? Then, Ryan, July 1st, Canada Day. NHL free agency, it's announced that Johnny T has signed a 7-year, $77 million contract with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Average annual value of $11 million. This has been called the greatest free agent signing in Maple Leaf history. You and I have talked a lot about how most of the stars that this team has had have come here via free agency. And you especially have talked a lot about this team's horrific drafting history.
For horrific history in general. Like,
yes.
Would
you agree that this is the greatest free agent signing in Maple Leaf history?
In my life, 100%. And if you, yeah, it is. It is. In terms of name value and a guy who you can sign and basically become your captain right away, and who has an unreal reputation around the league of just being a good player and a good pro and good guy. Like, dude, we were stoked. This was awesome, man.
Yeah, we were stoked.
I don't look back at it and be like, oh, well, no, it was awesome. It was awesome. It was the first time where it was like the Leafs are getting the big fish. And yeah, they got to pay a lot for him, whatever. But that guy was going to get supposedly more in San Jose if he signed for there.
$91 million contract, the Sharks.
Yeah, and I'm sure the Islanders were in the same boat. So it's not like they were in that market. They were competing, and they had to do what they had to do to sign him. And we were fired up, man. Like, it was awesome.
It was awesome. It was more than them just getting the big fish, Ryan. It was the prodigal son returning. Like, how many times?
Oh, here we
with
go.
Any Ontario guy who comes into the league, is it just the narrative is just he wants to come home and play in Toronto? And a few years prior, the Leafs were courting Steve Stamkos. And apparently they were going to make him the face of like Canadian Tire, something like that, in Canada. And he was just going to be like, they were going to give him the keys, basically. And he turned them down and went back to Tampa. And for years, it's always been, this kid grew up in Toronto. He wants to come back and play in Toronto. And it never happened. It never materialized. And then finally, the kid who grew up playing in the G.
In the G, baby.
Yeah, came back home to be a Maple Leaf. And that is what I think makes this so special. And that is what I think makes it the greatest free agent signing in Maple Leaf history.
I think just based on talent alone, it's the greatest signing in history. This, man, you look back at this team's history, as I said a million times, it's in terms of individual success, there's been a couple of good ones, but man, it's not pretty. It's not at the top of the league in terms of history of individual success. And it's just to go out and get a guy who's already a first overall pick. It's not like he left his team because there was anything like he had an injury or his bad blood or anything. The guy literally just needed to get out of the island. And he wanted to go home, and you're right. And that's a narrative that I just got so tired of because you heard it so many times, but it was almost put to rest because of him.
And he showed up in a big way, Ryan. First season, records 82 points, 47 goals, 41 assists. Career year.
It was a phenomenal, phenomenal year.
Yeah. Career year. He was great from bell to bell last season.
Yeah, he was. And he got in that whole chemistry with Marner, too. It worked perfectly.
That was a part of the sales pitch. That apparently was a massive part of the sales pitch that Dubas gave him, was you're going to play with Mitch Marner.
Yeah, and he played a full 82.
Yep.
As well.
Yep.
Yeah, one thing I will say about John is his time so far with the Leafs, he's been pretty healthy.
Yep. He had a couple of minor injuries this year.
Yeah,
but he's
still, man, he's still up there in games. And if you look at his like statistics, like last year, career year in goals and points, and you just look at him, like I find it, this is going to be a challenging episode because when we're watching the games currently this season, I still remember just being like, John's a step behind. But then you analyze his career and what he did last year, and it's like, dude, this guy's legit. Like, this guy's... He's not Crosby. He's not Ovi. But, man, he's a damn good hockey player. Like, this guy is about a point-a-game player, and he's about as solid as a dude as you'll ever see. So this is going to be a tough episode for me, man. Johnny makes me feel all type of ways.
This is why I thought it was a good topic of conversation last week when we stumbled upon it. Well, also, if we're going to talk about last year, Ryan, we got to talk about the infamous game in Long Island where he just got to
Was garbage.
Yeah, like
garbage.
Just accosted by Islander fans for like just merciless, absolutely merciless. His teammates abandoned him.
Oh, it was a joke. Yeah, that might have been the most. Actually, you know, we did the Bruins watch back. We talked about the David Ayers situation. I think we're forgetting this one as maybe the most embarrassing game in this era of Toronto Maple Leaf. Like,
it's
that
classic.
Was
it's
garbage,
classic,
man.
Yeah, it's classic though. Like, just you're in a hostile environment, and instead of rising to the occasion, you fold
you
like a
wilt.
Cheap suit.
Yeah.
Yeah, you wilt. That is what this team has done more often than not.
100%. Oh,
yeah,
my
since
goodness.
In the last few years. Like, name me. I could count on one hand the amount of games that this team has risen to the occasion and played well in over the last two seasons.
What are those games? Do you know? I can't think of them.
There was a Florida game this year. The last game they played against Tampa before they shut the season down, there was a game. The Islanders on Hockey Night in Canada with Hutch in the net, that they got a shutout. So they're
you're right. Okay, there's been a couple.
Maybe one hand was harsh, okay? Can count on two hands. But,
yeah, but I know you're right, though. It's exact. In terms of, like, tough games, like, not just, like, go in and have a good performance. Like,
yeah.
You need a W here. You're playing kind of a rival. Like, can you get it done? And I felt so, going back to the game where they lost in the island, I felt so bad for him, man. Like, that sucks. And I know the fans, I get it. Like, they were pissed. Their best player left them, even though, man, they're a pretty damn good hockey team now. But man, that's a tough, John, I don't want to see a guy like John to go through that. And that sucked, man. That kind of pulled me out of, like, critique Leaf fan mode into, like, just legit fan mode. And just, I just hated those fans. I hated that team. I still hate them.
Yeah, so do I.
I despise them.
Every Islander game is circled on the calendar,
yeah,
from now on. 100%. Thanks to John. Yeah, 100%.
And you look at his time on the island, like, dude, that team sucked.
Yeah,
that team sucked, man. Like, they were garbage, and he had nobody to play with. So, yep.
And he stayed, and he re-signed and stayed.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he did it. He gave them their shot, and he's like, I'm leaving. I'm going home. I know his like wife had something to do with that, or maybe it was family or other influences that kind of helped him along the way. But man, I don't think that guy should have any regret leaving that place. Garbage.
But the following Saturday on Hockey Night in Canada, they came home. This is such a warm memory. The ovation that he got from Leaf fans, just stoked to have him. And that's a feel-good moment. Like, that's on our Instagram, too. Like, go check it out. It's on YouTube everywhere. It'll make you feel good. I highly recommend watching it. When we did the season review episode a few weeks ago, we talked about how this past offseason there was all the speculation about who was going to be the next captain, and everyone had their own opinion. And then before the first game, Johnny was revealed to be the new captain. And could you go wrong with that choice?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Just was already an automatic choice. I felt like everyone wanted to see 34 get it, but then he took his pants off and mooned a security guard, and that was the end of that. Yep. So it's all John. How could you not?
It is all John, 100%. Yeah. And
isn't it funny how I always called John? I feel like Kyle Dubas got me into that. Like, because usually you just call him Tavares, but every time Dubas does, like, a presser, he always calls him John.
And Dubas also, you know, Dubas loves, like, if Chris Johnson asks him a question, he's always like, well, you know Chris.
Yeah.
When we, yeah.
Well, that's a good question, Chris. Oh, he does every time. It's
Terry Koshan asks him a question. He goes, you know, Terry, that's something we thought about a lot.
Yeah, and it's like, I know somebody taught you to do that along the way, but it's like, it's almost into, like, hero mode now. Like, now you're just being a hero, man. Like, just chill. Like, we get it. Like, you pay attention.
Take the cape off, Kyle. Take the cape off.
You know who you're talking to. You're impressive. Like, just you don't have to do it every time. Every single time.
I know. Hilarious, man. Oh, my God. Where were we? Oh, yeah. Tavares gets the C. And okay, this is where this conversation is going to take a bit of a turn. And this is why, like, when we did the Matthews one a couple weeks ago, it's like I went through and highlighted key moments in Matthews' like short career with the Leafs. I didn't want to do that with this one because to me, it's like there's two sides to this John Tavares conversation. There's bringing him in, everybody's stoked. He has a career season. He's the greatest free agent signing ever. He's the captain at the beginning of the season. But I think a lot of people, Ryan, yourself included, struggled watching him a bit this year. Before the season was canceled, 26 goals, 34 assists. So not horrible, but not great. You often talked about his pace of play this year and how slow he looked from time to time. And there is a group of people in the fan base who now, with the benefit of hindsight and an $11 million cap hit after what's happened with the Matthews, Marner, and Nylander negotiations, who question if this was the right decision. Talk to me about what it is that you struggled with Johnny this year.
I've had some time to reflect on it, and like during the season, I feel like what's happening in this league now is John gets $11 million, and you look at his, like last year, he got 47 goals, 41 assists. That's a damn good year, man. It's hard to score 47 goals in this league. That's worth a lot of money. But you look at Dreisaitl, you look at McDavid, you look at Kucherov, you look at all those McKinnon, all those guys who are just almost 100-point guarantee every year now. And it's like those guys aren't making what Tavares is making. And that's becoming a bit of a problem in terms of just expectation. And I feel like it's unfair. I feel like if you look at his career stats and the year he's having this year, like this is who he is. Like, yeah, he was touted to be one of the greatest number one overall picks of all time, but it's hasn't been a secret that his foot speed has been his biggest downfall in his career. And I feel like maybe instead of me getting frustrated about his play in a certain game to game, maybe we got to step back and realize that this is just the hockey player that he is. He's never going to impress you with one of those McDavid deke through three people. He's never going to be the fastest guy on the ice. He's going to be a guy who grinds, who wins faceoffs, who's not going to dominate possession, but find the right place to be on the ice to score a goal. Could be on, like, you know, like I feel like sometimes us as fans expect too much out of a guy. Like there's only so much he can do, but it's annoying because like I said earlier, you look at the guys who are leading the league in points, and Tavares is eating up way more of the cap than they are, other than McDavid.
It's the economics of the league too. Like it's just the way the NHL works. Like guys 29 years old, and which is like you're approaching senior citizen territory in the NHL, and he's making $11 million for the next 5 seasons.
I know, so, it's a lot, dude. And
it's a lot. And so John is so talented, and I have no doubt in my mind that he's going to find ways to tailor his game so he can still produce, maybe not at a 47 goal rate, but he'll still find ways to produce and get his cookies. But it's just the way the league works. Like ask Canadiens fans how they're feeling about that Carey Price contract right now. And I know that's not the same as the Tavares contract, but it's no, like
100%. You're right. I know exactly what you mean.
You're looking at Carey Price is widely considered one of the greatest goaltenders of all time in the National Hockey League. And I bet you most Habs fans now look at that contract and are like, God, I wish we never signed that. Because the salary cap ramifications that it has for a guy that age, it's not realistic to expect him to produce at the rate of a Matthews, of a Marner, of a Dreisaitl, of a McKinnon when he's 30, 31, 32, 33.
No, he's not. Right? He's not that type of player.
But he's getting paid $11 million. So this is where it gets challenging. And then, like, you look, I'm the one contract that really makes me angry. Like when I really sit down and think about it, the one contract that Kyle Dubas has signed that really pisses me off is the Mitch Marner contract. Because I just, that to me is just bending over and giving way too much to Mitch Marner and his dad. People get upset about the Matthews contract and the 5-year tenure. Listen, Austin Matthews is an elite player in this league.
He's a star in the league.
He's an elite player in this league. And he's come in with like a new school, like NBA mentality where he's like, no, 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 I control this. You don't control this.
He is league wide a star. He's in the top 5 highest drawing guys in the league right now.
Mitch Marner,
like it or not.
And I know over the last few years, like people change opinions on this, myself included, and like because sometimes one player is playing better than the other, but if you really sit down and you really look at this rationally and you really just like take all the emotion out of it, Mitch Marner is not in the same conversation as Austin Matthews. Like, sorry, he's just not. But he has a $10 million contract. And so you look at the impact that that's had on the Leafs' salary cap. And so at least with Marner, you look and you say, okay, well, Marner's still young and has all these years left on his deal, whereas John is like 29. And so you're like, do we really need to be paying a 29-year-old $11 million? And it's a complete 180 from how everyone felt when he was signed. But this is what a salary cap does to you, man. It messes with your head, and it totally makes changes the way that you feel about players.
Yeah, and it's just like it's getting worse every year, and it's like Kyle's just headed this new way of just making sure you protect all your best guys by paying them way too much money. And you look at, like, I know what you were saying with Mitch. It's like last year we were like, Mitch is better than Austin, because Austin was hurt last year and frankly was kind of a non-factor in the regular season, which it seemed like that. The guy still had 30 goals, but you look at John, like, too, like, what you said about Marner, like Tavares wouldn't have had that year last year without Mitch.
Yeah.
John's never had a guy to play like Mitch. Mitch set him up like crazy. Mitch had a ton of points last year. So Mitch was able to go to the bargaining table and be like, well, I was your best guy last year. I got you to the playoffs. I made Tavares a king. He has 47 goals.
Yeah.
And it's just like all these guys is just like, I don't want to be angry at Tavares anymore. It's like, I don't want to watch him and be like, oh, he's not skating, he's not dominant, he's not deking through guys, he's not scoring those beauty goals. We should just accept the type of player that he is. But it's, again, the thing that just leads us back, and no matter what we're talking about, it all goes back to the salary cap. No matter what thing we do or what we talk about with this team, it's just, it all just gravitates and pulls it right back into the salary cap conversation. And it's annoying. I'm tired of it.
I'm tired
of
it.
But it's not
too,
going away.
No, it's not going away. It's just the way the league is, man. It's just the way the league is. Like, you watch some of these, like, rewind games they've been playing on Sportsnet from the early 2000s where there was no cap and the Leafs just were like, all right, we'll give this guy this and this guy. Yeah. Like, the one year they have, like, Brian Leetch and
Brian
Joe Newendike and Alex McGillney, Gary Roberts, Darcy Tucker, Shane Corson. Like, what? Mats is captaining this whole thing. Thomas Caberlet, Brian McCabe, like, Cujo.
Yeah, and they could go out inside. But the funny part about that is that leads into my history of the Leafs conversation. All those guys, they went and signed like that, those years to help them out. All those guys' greatest years of their career was not in a Maple Leaf uniform. Yep. And they almost were just a shell of their former selves playing for this team.
Yep.
But it's, you're right, though. Like, they could go out and do anything they want. It almost pisses me off how they weren't so good because of that. Like, that pisses me off. It's like, well, weren't they good? Like,
and
why?
It's like, you look at Major League Baseball and how the Yankees and the Red Sox are just allowed to do whatever they want. And it's like, man, that would be the Leafs.
Yeah, now I feel like it would. But yeah. I don't get how, like, a team, like, they weren't, like, yeah, they might be at the peak of their money making right now because you can't get in a building without spending $1 billion. But, like, how in the early 2000s could they not go out and just flex their muscles and just do? Ah, it pisses me off.
Yeah, I think the mentality, because the salary cap changes the way everyone thinks, right? And
that
I think
sucks.
The mentality,
the worst thing in sports. It's dumb.
It is. But it just, it adds a whole. But on the flip side, Ryan, it adds a whole other level of discussion and interest around pro sports. It's not just about the on-ice product. It's how you allocate your dollars off the ice to build your team.
But I feel like that's a problem with this league right now. It's like, all we're going to talk about off the ice is money, and we're never going to talk about the guys who are... I mean, I guess it's the same thing in the NBA. Like, we all... But, like, I never once heard, like, how much is LeBron going to get paid, you know? No, it's about LeBron going out there and blocking a guy and dunking on a guy and hitting a big three. Like, it's not about...
The NBA has just a whole other level of star power. Like, not to get too far off the Tavares topic, but, like, we're talking earlier about how if the NHL does, like, a play-in with all the teams, it's like, if the NBA did that, like... How are your ratings in the U.S.?
Oh, just not even in the U.S. Every single guy I know, like, by far the most popular sport with guys my age and guys I know is basketball by a mile.
Yeah.
Like, you got to grasp, like, there's some football guys, like, you can grasp at the football guys, but, like, when it comes to just interest with guys my age, oh, boy, it's the NBA.
Yeah, I see that a lot, too. NBA has great crossover appeal, too. Like, hockey doesn't have that much crossover appeal. You ever notice that? Like, tons of people love, like, the Blue Jays and the Raptors and the NBA and Major League Baseball. And, like, the NHL is, like, it has crossover, but I don't know. At least in my eyes, not as much.
No, not even close.
No.
And we're getting off the rails because we're talking about financials of other leagues, and it's just the reason why we get into that is just what Tavares represents. Like, it's just,
yeah,
it sucks that we have to be angry at him for, like, not having 100 points. He's a damn good hockey player.
Literally, the negative argument towards John Tavares is purely about financials.
Yeah.
Like, purely. Like, you look at his numbers this year, and while it's not last year, it's also not a bad season, but you still look at them, and you're like, well,
yeah,
he's making 11 million.
60 points in 63 games. That's a hell of a season.
Yeah, and you're still looking at him, and you're like, well.
And we think he's playing, like, off. We think he's, like, not playing well, and the guy's still, like, just inching up on a point per game, which, if you look at his career totals through 814 games in his career, that's the hockey player that he is.
Yep.
So it's just like, maybe all this time we've had to reflect, as soon as they can get back to playing Maple Leaf hockey, I can just think about this conversation and be like, you know what, John, you don't have to do that, because it's not your fault you signed an $11 million deal. It sucks that our salary cap sucks, but maybe instead of being pissed at John for not providing enough, like, yeah, you want a little bit more, but, like, if you look, that guy's having a hell of a year. Like, if he was having a dog year, it'd be different, but, like, this is an off year and he's still doing well. So maybe we got to just be like, no, it's not his fault. Kyle did it. He didn't do it.
So to wrap all this up, if you were to get in your time machine and go back to July 1st, you're Kyle Dubas and you walk in and you say, well, you know, John, well, you know, Mike, well, you know, Brendan, would you still have signed this contract?
Is this like hindsight being 2020?
Hindsight being 2020, would you still have signed this contract?
Man. Oh.
It's a I'll hard answer. Question, I'll man. Answer. I'll answer.
Yeah.
Yes. I think you've got an opportunity to sign an elite player in the league. That's something that does not come along very often. You take it every time, and you worry about how you're going to fix it down the road if it doesn't work out. That, like, imagine if he didn't sign him. Imagine if it was
sucked.
Leaked to the media. Oh, my God, Ryan, he gets skewered. Him and Shanny would get raked over the coals.
You're right. Damn right. You are so right.
You had a chance to sign John Tavares, and you didn't take it.
You're right. They would get destroyed.
Yeah, they would get...
Not even think of that.
Yeah, they would get annihilated. And I think if you and I were in that seat and you've got a chance to sign literally one of the best players in the league who is willing to take less money than what other teams are offering him to come and play on your team, you make that deal. 100%.
I would sign him again for sure. I don't think, like, early in the year, I said no, I went the other way. But thinking now, I would sign him again because it's not, you're right. Like, they had an opportunity to go get the best guy who's hit free agency in a long time, and they did it. And you're right. They would have got absolutely roasted if they didn't. And that was, like, Marner hadn't signed his contract then. Nylander hadn't signed his contract then. It started becoming a disaster when Kyle just decided to be one of the softest people on planet Earth while negotiating contracts and just deal with it horribly. And all
now,
the
there's an interesting way to spin this, Ryan. Like, instead of looking at the Tavares deal and going, well, he was an older player and you assigned him to $11 million and blah, blah, blah. Maybe if you were a little more hard-nosed at the negotiating table with Mitch Marner, we wouldn't be in this situation.
Yeah, I don't think that's John's fault. I think the way you just described why you would do it again is the absolute, like, best point you could make for this. Is they would have got killed if they didn't do it, and all of, including me, I would have been pissed if I knew John Tavares wanted to be a Maple Leaf and they couldn't get it done because it was too much money. We would have lost our minds. And that was before all the other negotiations. And then after that, it became we can and we will. And he was a little soft when it came to keeping that promise.
So, in closing on this, we both would sign John Tavares again, and we love having him here, and we love that he's the captain of the Maple Leafs.
Yes. Would I like for him to be an absolute superstar and lead the league in points every year? Yes. I would love for him to be magically faster. Yes. I would love for him to dominate games more, but that is just not the player he is, and it's not his fault that he signed that contract. That's a damn good contract, life-changing contract. You get to play at home. Man, I would sign that thing in a heartbeat if I knew I couldn't live up to it. Who cares? And I know he knows he can live up to it, but I'm just saying, like, you got to sign that contract. So maybe all of us just need to accept the type of player that he is and just ride it out.
Before we call it quits on this week's episode, Rye, I want to hit you with a little hot take of mine. All right, and I want to get your thoughts on it. So, potential 31-team play-in. All the teams haven't been on the ice in a while, okay? I think that this favors the Maple Leafs. Because all the talk about the Maple Leafs is that playoff intensity. Do they have what it takes? Do they have what it takes? Everyone will be kind of ramping it back up when they come back, right? Which means theoretically the style of play won't be as, like, hard-nosed and in your face and rough, quote unquote, playoff hockey. It'll be run and gun.
Yeah, it'll be panic mode.
And I think that scenario really favors this Toronto Maple Leaf team. I think I really like the Leafs' chances to beat anyone in that style of game, in this style of playoff. Your thoughts?
You might be right. You bring up a good point, but there is one thing that this group of players have shown me for a couple of years now. They will find a way to blow it. I can promise you that right now. And I think the way you describe the Leafs having a good chance, man, just think about a team that's like, think about like the Sens or something.
If they catch a heater and it's like
one of the worst teams in the league win the, like, anything goes, man. I'm looking at
the league standings right now. So from like 1 to 31, if you're like the Vancouver Canucks, okay, you're 20th, you're out of the playoffs, and you catch a heater, you could go on a real run. Canucks are a good young team.
Yeah, Canucks are a damn good team. Good coach.
Like why can't they put a couple wins together?
100%. That's why when you say like the March Madness format and why people love that tournament so much is because of that. Yep. It's you can have a team of obscurity that doesn't have the Zions or the RJ Barretts or the Anthony Davis, and they can go on a run. That's what this makes us. Rob, this would be the greatest thing this league has ever had, ever, period. Not even close. Like, well, this would be the greatest thing that ever happened to pro hockey.
You want to know another thing about doing a play-in like this? Like, another good thing about it? 31-team draft lottery.
Oh, boy. I'd be pretty pissed. I'm not going to lie. I'd be pretty pissed if I'm the Wings.
Yeah, right?
If I'm the, because they're by far the tankers. So yeah. It's like I'd be a little rattled with that. But
yeah, you're the Wings and you end up getting like the 25th overall pick.
Yeah, that would suck, man. There's a lot to figure out. But don't give me – if someone wants to argue with me, give me the wah-wah about how teams worked harder than other teams. It's like, shut up. This is for entertainment, man. Like, yeah. Let's just chill on the traditional things about sports, which is why baseball drives me nuts.
Well, Ryan, we live in a society where it's just a bunch of whiners, and they're going to find something to whine about.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, just
so
something,
there's
just
be
something
a huge
to hop on
section
Twitter and cry about,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, there's going to be a huge section of people that don't think it's fair.
Yeah.
But it's like, man, who cares? If you're the Red Wings, you get to play an extra playoff game. Why not?
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Who care? I would take that every day of the week.
It
would
Senators,
suck for
the Devils, the Sabres. Like, why not, man?
Damn right.
Like, why not? So let's all hope that that's actually something that becomes reality, because I think that would be awesome. And I think the NBA and the NHL should come together. This is what I honestly think. Adam Silver and Gary Bettman need to get in a room. They need to come up with the same sort of way they're going to go about this, and then work the scheduling so they're not going up against each other. And when everyone's quarantined in their homes, one day you've got a slate of NHL play-in games and you got a slate of NBA play-in games. Off you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you
want to make some dough off TV advertising?
Yeah, you can run into each other maybe in the early rounds because you'll probably have games every day. But when it comes to kind of dwindling it out a little bit, then you for sure spread it out.
Yeah.
Imagine just sitting back and a whole day of NBA, NHL play-ins. Like, my God, man.
How's the gambling on that?
What?
Yeah.
Like, get me 48 beers now. Like, let's go.
Yeah,
like, oh my God.
I know.
I can't describe to you how happy
you
I would
48
be.
48 beers and some money line?
Goodness. It would be, my bank account might suck after, but it'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah. So let's hope that something like that happens. You know what? Sitting here talking to you about it, I'm really fired up about that now.
Oh,
I think that would be epic.
Like, make it all worth it.
I agree. Like, if you got to like shorten next season in order to make this happen,
you got to do it, man. I don't want to watch game one. I don't care. I don't want to do this again.
Yeah.
Let's go to the big stuff.
Yeah. 100%. That's why you get through the regular season.
Yes.
Yes. 100%. All right, on that note, we're ending on a high here. Thanks, everyone, for downloading this week. We'll see you next week. Don't forget, follow us on Instagram at Talkin' Buds Podcast. We're also on iTunes and Spotify. Hit that follow or subscribe button. Thanks again, guys.
Hi, I'm Connie Thiessen, the host of Broadcast Dialogue, the podcast. We focus on Canada and the challenges facing Canadian radio and TV, as well as highlighting those moving the industry forward from podcasting and streaming to new broadcast tech. Check us out at BroadcastDialogue.com or your favorite podcast app.
I'm Matt Kundel, host of the Sound Off Podcast, the show about podcast and broadcast. Since 2016, we've been speaking with amazing people who have populated your ears for decades. Legendary broadcasters, research wizards, talent experts, podcasters, voice talent. Almost 400 stories, all for free. Subscribe or follow the Sound Off Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or at soundoffpodcast.com.